The floor is yours. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Good morning, everyone. Together with my collaborators, Sergio and Victoria, it is my pleasure to be here to present a new Radiance-based simulation workflow for evaluating annual visual and non-visual metrics. The keywords being annual, visual, and non-visual. I'd like to set the stage by saying that there is more to light than vision. Of course, understanding aspects of visual perception such as sufficiency and environmental reflection is important. We need light for safety and accessibility. But then there are also the non-visual aspects such as the psychological effects on alertness and mood, physiological effects of vitamin D towards battling, reducing the chances of myopia, and also the circadian regulation. So considering all these human-centric impacts of lighting, it's quite important that we consider the visual and non-visual aspects while designing the facades and also the lighting design. The lighting simulation tools presently mostly focus on aspects of vision. But there have been recent tools such as LARC, Alpha, and Owl, which also deal with the non-visual aspects. There have been metrics such as the CIS026 alpha opaque metrics and the circadian metrics by the Lighting Research Center, which also include the non-visual aspect of lighting, and also recent paper by Brown Brainard that talks about the non-visual recommendation, melanopic recommendations of light at different times of day. So there have been advances in non-visual too, and this research seeks to take these advances further. So I'd like to set the stage by say first talking about what is non-visual light, and before that I talk about what visual light is. So inside the human eyes, we've got rods and three types of cone photoreceptors which have their own spectral sensitivity curve, which combine together to give us the colored vision. Now the short, medium, and long cones are sensitive in the blue, green, and red wavelength region of the optical spectrum. And then there is the non-visual aspect. The intrinsically photosensitive retinal ganglion cells, the IPRGCs, they suppress the expression of melanopsin when they are triggered. The melanopsin induces sleep and its suppression promotes alertness, kind of like a kick of coffee. And IPRGC response is triggered by the 480 nanometer rich radiation, so more towards the blue shift. And this acts as the zeit giver for our circadian rhythms. Now, how do we evaluate the visual and non-visual illumination? That happens through spectral sensitivity curves. Here in this, I'm showing four types of spectra. The one in orange is the D65, we know that. And then there are three LEDs that I'm showing over here. The one marked in blue is around 20,000 kelvins, so it's very rich in the blue part of the spectrum. The one in green curve is about 5000 kelvins, and the one in red is 2000 kelvins, so basically like a warm LED. When we multiply these spectra with the photopic sensitivity curve, the area under the curve tells us what is the amount of visual illuminance that we get to see. So what we are seeing here is daylight is obviously high, but the blue part, which is the 20,000 kelvin, is perceived as much lower. But when we multiply this not with a V lambda curve, but rather with the circadian spectral efficiency function, which is the C lambda curve, this is more shifted towards the blue part of the spectrum. So we are seeing a little different summation of the area of under curve. And what we understand is to evaluate non-visual metrics, MEDI or circadian stimulus, we need to know the spectrum first. Now, LARC evaluates spectrum basically using the D65 sky spectra through the entire year, which is not good enough. Spectrum varies with time, it varies with location, and also it varies for different patches of the sky in an observer's scene. Here what we are seeing is a sky dome. So basically you are looking right above, it's the entire sky dome. There is sun in a different part of the sky. The spectra of the part near the sun and the part away from the sun would be entirely different. So you have different spectra of different part of the sky, but you also have different spectra of the sky from morning to the evening. So morning you have a different spectrum of the sky. As the day progresses, the spectrum of the sky changes as well. So to incorporate this dynamic, The spectral sky models, which is recently proposed by Aisha Diakite-Kotliva and Martin Anoop, this came in quite handy for us that we used some version of this. It's a luminance to CCT model. So you know the amount of daylight luminance and you can correlate that to have the CCT of daylight. Further, we use the CIE-015 approach, where for a certain CCT, we know what is the certain spectrum. So we took this further by doing a radiance image based evaluation. From an observer's perspective, we render a fisheye image, and for that fisheye image, we divide only the sky patch, the sky part, the direct sky patch, into 145 vertical Tregenza like patches. For each of those patches, then we know the luminance. Luminance is then converted into the patch CCT. The patch CCT gives us the patch SPD, and then with the cosine correction, we know the incident spectra at the observer's eye. Once we know that, it's quite easy to evaluate the non-visual, non-image forming metrics, which is both the alpha opaque metrics by CIE and also the circadian metrics by the Lighting Research Center. This is the dashboard of the tool we released about 2 years ago, which is OWL. OWL stands for Occupant Wellbeing Through Lighting. It's a little bit of play of words because lark already exists. Lark is one of the birds in the morning. OWL is the bird of the evening. So in OWL, a user can pretty much define the geometry. So what we are seeing over here is a person sitting next to the window. This is a computer and facing outwards. When we have this from this image, so this image is rendered for each analysis period. So you're defining the hour of the day. All we are giving is the geometry and the EPW weather file. And then by defining the hour of the day, it renders the image. This image is discretized into those direct daylight patches. Each patch luminance gives you CCT, which gives SPD. And then here we have the relative combined SPD at the observer's eye. This gives us the non-image forming metrics. So this is OWL, which we released about 2 years ago. Now, OWL offered an easier pre-designed alternative to actual post-occupancy measurements. I mean, with some limitations, but that's what it was. But design interventions need an annual understanding of the space's performance. And that's why we are presenting to you AnuOWL, our latest tool for occupant-centered and space-centered evaluation. Now, this is a play on words, annual, AnuOWL. I'll go further to also talk about SpectraOWL and stuff later. Basically, I am MarshaOWL and my collaborator is Sergio OWL Tomonte. So what AnuOWL needs is you need to define the geometry, the weather data, and also a pre-compiled annual spectral data. It takes this, and with that, it defines space-centered grid-based CVDMs and also the occupant-centered, which we are proposing through something called as OVNI diagram, like the sombrero diagram, but slightly different. Now, this is the grid-based CVDMs, which is daylight autonomy, continuous daylight autonomy, useful daylight illuminance, and average illuminance. But also, we have occupant-centered visualizations. So there is a hemisphere in the middle, which talks about daylight provision through the entire year. Then we've got one ring in four different directions, north, south, east, west, which talks about non-visual or circadian potential. And then we've got the second ring, which talks about protection from discomfort due to glare. There is also a third ring, which is about the view quality, but we have not incorporated that. That's the plan, so that comes next. Together, the idea is, so the ring, in the hemisphere in the middle talks about if the lux meter is here, kind of like the daylight provision at table height. And then the four rings in the four directions, they are talking about at vertical, what is the protection from glare and non-visual metrics. And this looks like a UFO. In French, UFO is called Objet Volant Non Identifié, OVNI. That's why we are calling this as the OVNI diagram, which stands for Occupant Visual and Non-Visual Illumination. So that's the idea behind the OVNI diagram. Now, this is the dashboard of AnuOWL. It has 63 original components, so about 6,500 lines of Python code, but it's centered around radiance. So, the first part here, like over here, we have to, so the user only has to define the geometry and also the EPW file and the pre-compiled annual spectral file. Priji will tell more about that either here or at the CI conference. But the main idea is we use Aisha's model of luminance to CCT to SPD using the OWL1 approach. We do for the hemisphere. So hemisphere using the Perret's model for each patch, we take what is the patch luminance, then patch CCT. Patch CCT gives us patch SPD, and we have a hemispherical SPD using cosine correction. This is now compiled as a CSV file. So we have a CSV file which is 8760 rows by 176 columns. I'll tell more about that, but essentially, so this is the pre-compiled annual CCT, and this is a visualization of that. So as an annual heat map, this AOWL file, which is a requirement for OWL, is having 8760 rows by 187 columns, which talks about some data from EPW file, which is here. Then it talks about the CI coordinate XYZ, the color correlated color temperature, and with 2 nanometer spectrum, the relative SPD from 380 to 730 nanometers. So it's a pre-requirement. To generate this file, we have made a utility which you just have to define the EPW file, and it generates, it takes about 20 minutes maybe to generate a AOWL file. We are giving some files along with the download, but users can develop their own files. Now, this is a visualization of grid-based metrics, which is daylight autonomy, continuous daylight autonomy, UDI, and average illuminance. We also have color palettes, so people can choose more among different other color palettes as well. Now, I'm talking more about the protocol or the flowchart, logical flowchart of evaluation of different occupant-centered metrics. So, in the center, we've got the daylight provision. It all begins with the evaluation using the daylight coefficient method of horizontal and vertical illuminance from the occupants. So for each occupant position, we are evaluating at the table height, which can be set by the user, but the default is at 0.7. What is the horizontal illuminance at the table height for each of the 8760 annual hours? And similarly, we have across 4 orientation at the occupant eye height, what is the vertical illuminance in the 4 directions? Once we have that, one pathway talks about the daylight provision for the hemisphere. The second pathway, which starts with the 4 into vertical plane data, that talks about the evaluation of non-visual parameters, the non-visual potential. And the third pathway, which also talks about 4 into vertical plane data, talks about the external ring, which is the protection from discomfort glare. So talking about the first pathway, we have the the data on the horizon, and that is then put into 3 bins of minimum, medium, or high. This is following kind of the EN17037 approach, where if each grid point is between 300 to 500 lux, it gets 1 point. Between 500 to 750, the medium gets 1 point. Over 750, the high gets 1 point. These parameters of 300 to 500, 500 to 750, or over 750 can be modified by the users. It goes further to define the sum of score for all occupied hours. So we can change the occupied hours, like say start of business is at 9 and close of business is at 5 p.m. or whatever. How many days, working days per week. The sum of score for all occupant hours and divided by the overall occupied hours gives us the average. Now there comes the second parameter, which is the time threshold. Is the combined score more than 50%, then that grid point gets a 1 for high, here for medium, here for minimum, sorry. And then it is tested that for each grid point, if the sum of score for minimum is 0, so if the high score is 1, that grid point gets a green color. So in a different palette, it will come now here. One sec. Yeah, so all these grid points are performing high. The other grid points which don't get high is tested for medium, else minimum, or non-compliant. So the visualization is in 4 colors. So a design intervention, a designer can quite look at it and then say, okay, I have to do something about this point. Similar. The second parameter is for vertical non-visual potential. We use Truong's approximation. So from the pre-compiled sky spectra, we are taking the CIZ data CIZ data along with EV vertical illuminance gives us the circuit in stimulus at that point in time. This circuit in stimulus is again binned into medium, minimum and high, and then the idea of non-visual sufficiency is if circulating stimulus is above a certain threshold for an hour in the morning, so between 8 to 12 inclusive in the morning, and then just like that we are dividing by the number of days when this compliance happens, and then we get a score of medium, minimum or high. And for glare protection, protection of discomfort due to glare, we are using the SDGP approach, which we got to know from Yang yesterday is not the best way of doing it, but that's what we have. We have the vertical illuminance, and the vertical illuminance gives us the SDGP. If the DGP between these parameters less than 0.35, it's high. Between 0.35 to 4 is medium. 0.4 to 0.45 is minimum, and over 0.45 is non-compliant. Again, it goes further to all occupied hours, and we get this, the second rate. Now, I'd like to show a result of a parametric study. So we tested a couple of wall colors. Owl 1 was not sensitive to internal wall colors, but this annual is also sensitive to wall colors. So we used 5 different colors from SpectralDB, and for these 5 wall colors, we have tested the daylight autonomy, continuous daylight autonomy, UDI and average illuminance. Now, what we're seeing here is when the wall reflectance is high, it's white, you're seeing that more space is getting the daylight autonomy as compared to less reflective colors like blue or red. So this is visible. What we also have done is evaluate, we are offering two options for evaluation of spatial daylight autonomy. One is using the existing EN170037 approach, and one is with the proposed EN170037 approach, which is similar to IES LM83 evaluations. So the current approach is on the left, and the proposed approach is on the right. So this is current approach, this is proposed approach for white, yellow, blue, green or red color. So what we are seeing is that the proposed approach is giving a slightly lesser amount of score as compared to the current approach, but the proposed approach is also less sensitive to extremes in some of the cases like higher. So that means it's more balanced, the proposed approach, while the current approach is more towards little more high sensitivity. Now, Ogni-based evaluations, here there is some results that I'll quickly present. So on the left is non-visual circadian potential, again the parametric study on wall colors, while on the right, these are for the protection from glare. And as we see that as the wall colors change from white down to from white down to red and blue, the circadian potential actually drops. So what was earlier medium or minimum has now become more of non-compliant. So again, the sensitivity to wall colors, while protection from discomfort glare actually, what was earlier for white here, it has, I mean, there have been some changes in the non-visual potential as well. It's also possible to evaluate the annual heat map for any occupant position. So basically, this occupant, which is where Sergio actually sits, for this position, for the 5 wall colors, we have looked at under the 5 wall colors the annual performances. If we click on that occupant position, we can generate the annual heat map. So annual, you can do that. This band over here is between 8 to 12 inclusive, and we can actually get a better insight into these colors, so that using this, if we know that at specific hours of the day the circadian stimulus is not sufficient, or if the DGP is higher, we can either schedule the blind controls or provide a circadian effective lighting, for example, reference from Figaro. So we can give circadian effective lighting for those specified hours. So this also allows specific temporal strategies. And the final thing I'd like to show is a comparison of OWL with ANUAL. OWL was using the image-based evaluation approach, while ANUAL is using illuminance-based evaluation approach. So for the same grid position which I showed, the specific occupant position, for specific days of the year, from 4 different orientations, we've generated a lot of images and looked at the circadian stimulus and the illuminance, and we have compared that with the ANUAL data.
And we saw that there are certain places where there is a massive variation between the two evaluations, and that's actually because the sun is in the field of view. So when the sun is in the field of the view, both softwares are going bonkers, but other than that, it performs quite decently. And I'd like to give a certain amount of discussions about annual. The utility, we think that it is useful because there is a possibility for design intervention. So a designer can look at the design, the performance, and see both from the space-centered as well as the occupant-centered performance. The speed is quite fast, but then again, it uses the two-phase delayed coefficient method. It's useful for pre-design approach, not so good for a very, very detailed evaluations. The accuracy is better than OWL because internal reflections are considered. Limitations for both the occupant-centered parameters, which is non-visual potential as well as glare protection, we've used approximations. Like the strong approximation is used for non-visual potential, which is a single channel supplement to our traditionally multi-channel spectral evaluations. And we've used the SDGP approach, simplified DGP approach, which is based on vertical illuminance in place of using either a EDGP or like a proper full image-based DGP approach. So there are certain limitations again to the accuracy. The future scope and plans is because we know that this is a single channel approach, we've already started working on the full spectrum multi-channel one, which is similar to LARC or Alpha. We are kind of calling it spectral because OWL, so spectral, OWL, spectral. That is a point in time, but also I think Greg is not happy with the name. Multi-channel annual evaluation where we are using the same evaluation, grid-based evaluation, but running parallel 27 simulations to have 81 channels, which is probably and spectral, and also the incorporation of the view ring. So those are the ideas to make annual slightly better. My name is Marshall Maskaranj, and it was a pleasure to